What is up, you guys, and welcome to the Beneath the Armor podcast, where we discuss what goes on beneath the metaphorical armor we put on every single day to mask as typical functional humans when really we are all just big weirdos deep down inside. We talk about mental health, how we really feel, we get into the nitty-gritty feelings of what it means to be a human being. So thank you so much for being here on today's episode. I'm excited to have you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Beneath the Armor. I am Alex, your host. And as always, I am so excited to have you on here. I feel like I sound like a broken record when I say that every episode, but whatever, until I'm less excited, I am going to continue to be hyped and tell you about it and just be grateful that you're on here and listening to what I've got to say. Today is going to be a passion-fueled episode. I'm not going to lie. So buckle up, whether you're driving somewhere, walking your dog, or whatever you are doing, I'm likely going to go off on a passion rant at some point during this podcast, because we are talking about conditioning, the fitness industry, and what conditioning actually means in relation to your experience with health, wellness, and fitness. This is going to get really, really loaded, and it might take several turns that you were unprepared for. So I just wanted to give you that heads up that we are going to really jump into some cultural issues that we are facing when it comes to the fitness industry and what we actually think is healthy. Because spoiler alert, the messages that are given to us in society are not always actually the best when it comes to our personal health and wellness. It's actually a lot of unhealthy practices going on that I am going to personally reflect on here and talk a little bit about. So before we jump into conditioning, what that means and what it is in the fitness industry, I do also have an announcement today. And that is that the next cycle of my course, Beneath the Armor, the name of this podcast and also my course name, starts on November 24th. That is the first day of my next course. Registration opens November 10th. I am so, so, so hyped about this. I've made some major changes to the content. And now instead of one course, it's actually three. So there are 3 8-week courses, the first one of which is on this topic, your personal conditioning when it comes to fitness and health, what you learned about growing up and why you think, feel, and act the way you do when it comes to fitness, and how to build a better relationship with movement, food, and your mindset. So you actually like fitness and it's not this giant struggle in your life. So if that's something that sounds like it resonates with you or something you're interested in, please feel free to contact me on social media at ABH_movement or alex@abhmovement.com. I would love to hear more about your story and talk to you about your history with fitness and what you struggle with. So let's jump right into today's topic, friends, conditioning and the fitness industry. What is conditioning? Well, conditioning, if you are familiar or have heard this word, this terminology in psychology before, comes back to classical or operant conditioning. And if it rings a bell, literally, haha, no pun intended, but also completely intended, I'm talking about Pavlov's dogs and the ringing of a bell to initiate a saliva response in dogs. Dogs learned to correlate the sound of the ringing bell with being fed, to the point where eventually just the ringing of the bell led to a saliva response, even though there was no food present. Now that's really sciencey, so don't worry if that's not important to you. What it ultimately just means is conditioning is a behavioral response where you act a certain way because you've been reinforced when you act a certain way. In the fitness industry, let's talk about an example of this. You might be positively reinforced in Western society when you lose weight. What do we hear all the time? If we lose weight, even if it was because we were sick or unhealthy or unintentional, people go, "Oh man, you look really great. You've lost weight. You look awesome. What are you doing?" If we gain weight, God forbid, people go, "Oh, is everything okay? Like, what's going on?" Or they kind of don't really comment at all or make comments behind your back, even worse, about what you look like or what you might be going through. that is an example, just one example of the conditioning that we have ingrained in us in Western culture from the fitness industry. And so let's dive into that a little bit more. What else does conditioning look like in the fitness industry, at least in, again, Western culture, as far as I know, because I can only speak to that as my experience as a Canadian? Well, leaner is better, is basically the bottom line of that weight loss scenario. You lose weight, you are positively reinforced. You gain weight, you are negatively reinforced. This comes to the table and shows up in our language all the time with marketing like get bikini body ready. Your body is a temple. You want to shed weight for summer. Oh, like it just absolutely like it grinds my gears saying those sentences and those phrases out loud. But it's no surprise to any of us when we hear it that that kind of body type is positively reinforced. But more so than that, it's also about what our behavior looks like. People who go to the gym are positively reinforced. If someone gets up at 6 a.m. to hit their workout before they go to work that day, it's like, oh man, that person's like an overachiever. Man, they're really like type A. I bet they kill it at their job. Oh my God, I wish I were that organized. I wish I were that healthy. I wish I were that on top of it. And it's promoted. Those people are seen as some like pedestal type mythical creature that because they get up and work out before they go to work, as if that's some crazy standard. I was also just listening to Glennon Doyle's podcast, which if you have not listened to, by the way, is absolutely incredible. It's called We Can Do Hard Things. And one of the recent episodes was with Glennon and Glennon's co-hosts, her wife, Abby, and her sister, Amanda. And they sit down with Simone Biles and Lori Hernandez. Goodness, that took a turn there with my voice. And one of the most amazing things that I hear Simone and Lori talk about is how as elite athletes, they are put up on a pedestal and people go, man, I just don't know how you do it. I could never do that with my body. You're just a superhuman. You are just like out of this world. And one of the things they both reflected on that I thought was so beautiful was they were like, I'm just like you. I just worked really, really hard for a really long time. And I suffered a lot as a consequence of that hard work too. I'm just like you. I just dedicated my whole life to gymnastics up until this point. And we do this all the time, not just with elite athletes, but if we perceive ourselves to be less fit than someone else, we hold someone else who maybe goes to the gym more frequently or who looks more fit, whatever that means, up on a pedestal and compare ourselves to them. The fitness industry is just riddled with this social comparison of where is that person compared to me? Who has lost more weight? I think of The Biggest Loser, the TV show, in relation to this. Literally, the objective of the show is who loses the most weight. It's not about necessarily how those contestants feel and the long-term effects it has on their health or what their life looks like 10 years from then. It's literally, did you lose the most weight is the bottom line. That is the question there. You're looking at other people and, well, they've lost more. So now I feel ashamed and I can't be proud of the 10 pounds that I've lost because that guy over there lost 15. And the fitness industry just perpetuates this idea that you always need to be improving. You always need to be getting better. Where you're at is never good enough. In CrossFit, it's like, well, you hit this personal record, you got to hit another one. You've got to get the fastest time. You've got to lift more weight. You've lost 5 pounds, you've got to lose 10 pounds. You're a size 4, you got to be a size 2. You're a size 12, you got to be a size 10. You've got, oh my God, a perfectly normal human body, and you somehow need to perfect it in one way or another. And if it's not the fitness industry, it's the beauty industry, but that's a conversation for another day. So you always need to be getting better. You always need to be looking fitter. You need to be also, you need to be muscly, but not too muscly, lean, but not too lean, curvy in the right places, especially if you're a woman or someone who presents as a woman. You have to be curvy in the right places, but not curvy in the wrong places. You know what I mean if you're listening to that. And it is just this absolutely toxic message that is perpetuated by our culture. So our conditioning in the fitness industry, but other areas as well, I think can be broken down into three different areas: medical, media, and moral. What I mean by that is medical, for instance, is what we learn from health professionals, whether that is your doctor, whether that is a physiotherapist, whether that is your personal trainer, someone we perceive to be a professional or an expert when it comes to health and wellness. What do we learn about from those people? The second area is media, whether that's social media, advertising, TV shows, movies, things we generally consume from the media. What do we learn about what a fit body or fitness looks like from those areas? And then the last area is moral. And in this case, I mean, what were the moral values around exercise and fitness for you growing up or in the people closest to you in your life? So that might mean, what were the moral values around exercise within your family growing up? What do your siblings do? What do your parents do? What do your best friends do? Is fitness a good thing? Is fitness a bad thing? Is it frowned upon? Is it positively reinforced? And we're going to dive a little bit deeper into those three areas. And I'm also going to pose some questions for all of you to consider, to dig a little bit deeper into your own conditioning, if that is something you're interested in. So just keep that in mind as we go through that, those three areas, again, of where conditioning might be coming from. Subconsciously, by the way, you're likely not aware of this, is medical, healthcare professionals, media, imagery in the media, and then moral, what the moral values are around the fitness that you do in your community, whatever that looks like for you. So now we've outlined what conditioning is, what are the pressures that are personally put on you? And for this, I'd like to talk about my experience a little bit, because I'm not going to lie, as a coach and as one of those quote unquote professionals within the industry, my pressure and my conditioning, I imagine, looks a little bit different than some other people's, but not that much. And I'm going to bust a few fitness myths here right out of the water, because honestly, I've just had enough. I've had enough of the messages that are perpetuated within the fitness industry. They're not helpful, they're harmful. And so I want to talk about my experience of that. So I want to start with moral with this one, because fitness for me started at a really young age. My parents are both super active people. My dad was a long distance and marathon runner. My mom did triathlons. My dad played basketball growing up. My mom was a swimmer. They both played tennis. I grew up surrounded by sports, and I was an only child. So I watched my parents always be super, super active growing up. And there was no pressure to play sports. I didn't grow up with any kind of extrinsic, like, you need to play this sport. That's really important. But the messaging that I subconsciously learned from my parents was, this is something we do in this family. This is something that I should be doing in order to feel, I don't know, whether it was like a success or to feel good enough or to feel like I belonged. We are inherently social beings. We are going to mirror what we see our families do. So I saw my parents work out and I was like, ah, that is a thing I'm going to do too. So from a young age, I started playing sports really young. I grew up doing ballet at first, and then my mom promptly recognized that my personality type was not designed for that. I got taken out of ballet, put right into karate. That was the right choice. A-plus decision there. And then did taekwondo for about 10 years, 10 to 15 years. While I did taekwondo, I started running just like my dad did in high school. I ran track, cross country, played tennis, played volleyball, played rugby, played ultimate frisbee competitively for a while. I have always been an active person. I then did an undergrad degree in kinesiology and then specialized in exercise psychology. So my whole life has been very fitness centric. That's kind of my moral code. So if I were to flip that on its head, the inverse of that, by the way, what I mean is, I learned that working out was good. It was an important thing. It was something valuable, and it was something that was a part of our family in order to belong. If I went against that and I was an inactive person who did not play sports, I think I might've missed out on some critical bonding opportunities with my parents. I think I would have felt like more of a black sheep than I already am just as a human. But I think I would have felt like something was wrong with me if I didn't work out. I can only hypothesize because that's not the route I took, but I chose to work out because it was acceptable and it was something we also did for fun. Now, something I also learned from my family that I'm extremely grateful for was I did not grow up in a household where body image was ever discussed. My parents did a really beautiful job of raising me to never like look at my body. Nothing was ever nitpicked. My mom is very much a woman of this is me for who I am, take it or leave it. And like, this is who we are, warts and all. Like, we love each other no matter how they look, no matter how they present. And I am so deeply grateful for that because I recognize that that is a massive privilege in a society where that is not the case very often. So to any of you who did not have parents that supported what you looked like or never told you they told you you had to look a certain way, I'm so sorry that was your experience because you didn't deserve that. No one should be told that they have to look or act a certain way. And if you did experience that, I'm so sorry. You really just did not deserve that. So my parents really supported me and I was allowed to look however I wanted to look, do whatever I wanted to do. I played sports. That was that. Now, I also learned from school and the media. Let's move away from moral into more media type here. I learned in the media, I think as did any AFAB, so assigned female at birth, human in Western culture, you learn pretty quickly what a white woman should look like. Not just from a beauty standard, but a fitness standard. It's this impossible to achieve norm, you need to have the butt with the curves, but you need to have a little waist and you need to be lean and your shoulders can't be too broad and you need to have long legs and your legs need to be toned, but your arms can't be too toned. And God forbid you sweat too much and you get ugly when you work out. And that was just an awful experience. Those are the images you see all over media. Everyone's perfectly tanned and oiled. Everyone's got six-pack abs, but they look pristine and they look feminine and their makeup's perfect. It was a whole thing. It was a whole thing that messed with my brain. And while I didn't want to look like those women, but I thought something was wrong with me if I didn't. And being a queer non-binary human now who looks very much not like that image, I am learning to love my body, but I have really been, oh God, I had an eating disorder in high school. If you did not know that listening to this, there's my spoiler. I was anorexic in high school and not from a social media comparison standpoint. It was more out of a place of control, but image was hard for me. I still to this day struggle with body dysmorphia and just feeling like how I am in my body is enough. It's really hard for me in a world that continuously tells you that how you look isn't good enough. It's exhausting, in fact. And so now the images that I absorb or that I am compared to, I guess, are different, but there are fitness standards for lesbians. There are fitness standards for queer people. There are imagery and beauty standards for people of all body types, genders, identities. It is exhausting. Just exhausting. And they're lies. There are lies by the beauty, made up by the beauty and fitness industry that like, this is what healthy looks like. This is what attractive looks like. This is what sexy looks like. This is what athletic looks like. This is what strong looks like. And you can be, I should have started this podcast with this, but we're getting here now. I just want to say right now, whatever your body looks like, here's the passion rant, whatever your body looks like, whatever you do with it, whatever you like doing with it is very personal and entirely up to you and is wonderful. Like, let's just say that for what it is. You are not wrong. You are not broken. There is nothing wrong with you. You are doing the things you are doing for very personal reasons and no one can tell you otherwise. If someone dares to make a judgment about your body because they think that the way you look is fat, the way they think you look is too thin, the way they think you move your body is not right, the way they think you move your body is silly or stupid or uncoordinated, but it gives you joy, like what you do with your body is only up to you. Your body, your responsibility, your body, your prerogative, your body, your health, and health looks different from anyone else. Every single person's journey is going to be completely different. I was going to go off on another side note about my backstory, but let's just pause right there for a minute. And I want to let you all know that we have this conception in society that if you gain weight, you are at risk for a bunch of health struggles. Fat phobia is a very, very real issue. Fat people are shamed and criticized and just absolutely abused by society. But did you know that it is more harmful to your health to be underweight than overweight? And just let that sink in for a second if you didn't know that. It is more harmful to be underweight than overweight. And that's because when you are underweight, let's say you're starving yourself, which is what many of the diets in today's culture tell you to do, cut calories, decrease the amount of food you're putting in your body because that's how you lose weight, blah, blah, blah. You are actually shutting down vital functions in your body. Calories are a measure of energy. We need energy to survive. We need energy for our cells to function. We need energy to even sleep properly. We need energy to move our body. We need energy for cellular repair. So if you might notice changes in your skin or your nails or your hair, and not the ones you want to see if you're not eating enough food. We need to eat enough food to function. So when we're not eating enough and we're losing weight, we're actually stopping vital systems from operating in our body. We are debilitating ourselves. When we increase the amount of food that we have, which is also a biological mechanism for survival, we have a history of wanting to store fat on our body for survival. What is worse, putting on 5 pounds of fat and having all of your same cellular functions were operating, or losing 5 pounds of fat, but now you've lost your period if you're a woman? You're noticing hair loss. You're noticing that you're feeling just exhausted. You don't have energy to do the things that you love. Yes, there are pros and cons on both ends of the spectrum, but I do, if there's one thing I want to make really clear in saying this, again, yes, there are health concerns for everyone, but they look different to each one of you. Every single one of us is completely different. And being quote unquote fat does not mean you are unhealthy. And being underweight does not mean you are unhealthy. How do you feel? How do you feel? Not how does someone else tell you should feel, but how do you feel in your body right now? Do you feel good? Awesome. You're probably good. Do you have concerns? Okay. Awesome. I love that you know that. Let's go get those checked out and talk to someone about them. But you know your body better than anyone else. You do. And no one else can tell you anything about your body just by looking at you. You know. And that brings me back to my story for a moment. And I discussed morals and I discussed media to health professionals and experts. And again, I'm going to come to the table here as an expert and as a kinesiologist for a hot minute. And I just want to let you all know that kinesiologists, fitness coaches, personal trainers, doctors, physios, occupational therapists, it doesn't matter. None of us are immune to the conditioning that is perpetuated in our society. We are not immune to the conditioning. So although we might know better if we do the research and we learn more about what it means to truly be healthy, we are also brainwashed and conditioned by society to think that being fat is bad, to look a certain way is healthy, to see someone who looks muscular and think that they're going to be able to perform a certain way and move a certain way and move well. Looking muscular doesn't mean you don't have health problems. It really does not mean that at all. And I want to let you all know, I want to let you in on a little secret in the fitness industry. And this is a really, really toxic saying that goes around between coaches. And I don't know if any of you have heard it, but if you're a coach, you might have. And that is that your body is your business card. That's an actual saying that goes around the fitness industry. If you're a trainer, your body is your business card, which is awful. But it means that we think we have to look a certain way to be able to bring in clients, to be able to bring in business. Does our body have anything to do with the knowledge that we have? No. And then people go, well, if you really knew things, then you wouldn't look that way. You wouldn't be overweight. You wouldn't look like that. That's our choice. Remember what I just said about our body being completely personal, our fitness being completely personal. We move our bodies the way we want to for our own reasons. Same thing goes for trainers, just like you. So you might have a trainer who's got 5% body fat and looks shredded. They might have hired a coach to help them get there. They might not have the knowledge to actually help you if your goals are to move without pain, move without pain. Equally, just because there's a trainer who's overweight, that doesn't mean that they are not completely healthy in every way and have all the knowledge under the sun to help you with your goals. You cannot judge a book by its cover. Everyone is in it for their own very personal reasons, and we have got to stop shaming each other. We have got to stop making judgments about what people know and who they are and the knowledge they have based on how they look. Everyone has their own story. Everyone has their own struggles. And we are all brainwashed by the same societal, ridiculous, confusing, and misguided expectations and norms and standards that we need to look and act a certain way. I struggle with this as a coach on my social media. I look around at other coaches I know who put out body shots and them in sports bras or them shirtless and super lean. And I'm a lean human, but I don't want to post my body online. My body is not my resume. I feel like Christina Yang from Grey's Anatomy. Compliment me on my brain. Don't tell me I'm pretty. Tell me I'm smart. Like, I've worked so hard for the knowledge that I have. And I personally really struggle with the pressure to put out images of just like me lifting, because that's not helpful. And what does that do for you? Let's go down that rabbit hole for a second. Let's say I put out some picture of myself after I starve myself for a week to look as shredded as possible to meet all the norms and lifting whatever amount of weight. That's not fitness inspiration. That is shame at its very best. Because if you are not like that, what do? You look at that and you're like, good for you. Now I feel insecure. Now I feel terrible about my own body. I think I should look that way. I guess that's what healthy is. I want to look like that. How do I look like that? Do you really want to look like that? Why do you want to look like that? That's a hard question to answer. So if you need to pause this here and take a moment to reflect on that, I would actually love you to. Why do you want to look that way? And if you don't, amazing. I love that. I love that for you. I'm so proud of you. Awesome. Don't change. But if you are someone who's gone, well, I don't really know why I want to work out. I just really want to lose 5 pounds. I just really want to look leaner. I just really want to have more toned arms. Why do you want those things? What is that going to do for you? Is it because you just want to be stronger? Because like nothing's wrong with that. If it's from within you and you can go down that spiral and go, actually, it's not that I want toned arms. I want strong arms because I want to be able to pick up my kids and because I want to be able to carry groceries and not feel like I'm losing my independence because I have to ask for help. Like I want to be able to live my life. Amazing. Amazing. Those are very valid, reasonable reasons. But if you have not actually expanded on that further and you want toned arms because you think that's some measure of health or because you think someone else is going to like you more or other people are going to find you more attractive, I challenge you to unpack that a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with those reasons either. You all know me on this podcast that I'm going to validate you wherever you are at. There is no wrong way to feel. There is no right way to feel. But the purpose of this conversation is just that, to start a conversation about a topic that is not discussed nearly enough. And that is to unpack why we do the things we do, to become consciously aware of those messages in society and what they're telling us about how we need to be, who we should be, what we should look like. This is about all aspects of your life. I'm just starting with the fitness industry here. So I've got a few questions for you all to consider. And this is to start unpacking your own personal conditioning and maybe reflect a little bit on why you feel the way you do about fitness, why you feel the way you do about your body, and why you feel the way you do about health in general. Because if it has been a struggle for you, it has been a struggle for a very good reason, and that is not your fault. I really would love you to hear that, that if you struggle with fitness, that is not your fault. Fitness is not supposed to be hard. I mean, change is hard. Yes, we do challenging things all the time, but it shouldn't be like dying on the floor, drop and give me 20 pain. Oh my God, no pain, no gain. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That is not what this is about. That is a lie. That is a giant myth. So if you are interested in building a healthier relationship with movement, with your body, and generally unpacking your fitness conditioning, here are three questions for you. The first is this. If you imagine a medical or health professional talking to you about fitness, what would they tell you is good and what would they tell you is bad? Again, if you were to imagine talking to some kind of health professional related to fitness, what would they tell you is good and what would they tell you is bad? And what that's going to do is get you to kind of challenge what you immediately assume and think of, but maybe also unpack conversations you've had with such people and look at what they've told you that might not necessarily be true for you. The second question is, if you imagine your family growing up, what was the culture around fitness like for your family? And this is really, really critical. This is where a lot of these things can come from. And maybe even when you think of this, think of gym class growing up. What did gym class look like for you? What experiences did you have in gym class? What kind of kid were you in gym class? What kind of gym teacher did you have? What were the things that were, again, supported? What were condoned? And I always think back to like the beep test or the 12-minute run with this. That shit was awful, by the way. Just anxiety provoking at its very core. Like just a bad time. But what was the culture around fitness like for you growing up? Did you have a family like mine that really was all about fitness and they promoted it in a healthy way and they didn't body shame you? Did you maybe have parents that were like, oh man, I really need to lose 10 pounds and you watched that growing up? Did you have parents who were not active at all? And if you were active, maybe that was going to be a point of contention. Maybe even sports were seen as a thing for jocks. And if you had a family that really wanted you to be an academic, that maybe fitness was for stupid people. I've heard that before. If you experience that, that is totally a normal experience. Sadly, but it is. So what was your experience like with fitness growing up? And then the last question is, if you imagine social media you've seen related to fitness, what immediately comes to mind? What bodies do you see? What are they doing? And what message are those images in the media sending to you? And it might be helpful to sit down with a piece of paper or journal if you're that kind of person. I like journaling, big fan, especially for loaded questions like this. But just set a timer for yourself for maybe 2 minutes a question and just free write whatever your experiences are. And then read through your answers and just kind of think, whoa, there are some themes that come up here. And then reflect on what struggles you might be having with fitness right now. And maybe it'll make a little bit more sense to you about why you have those struggles. And again, I just want to let you all know that whatever your struggles are when it comes to fitness, they are totally normal and they are not your fault. Please hear that. And that might take a while to believe. I totally appreciate that. But fitness is hard for me. Fitness is hard for humans. I do this for a living. And literally there are days where I'm like, I cannot with fitness. But that's exactly the point. There are going to be moments where you don't like it. There are going to be days where you don't like your body. There are going to be days where you eat whatever the hell you want to eat. There are going to be up and down days. That's a part of being human. It's not about everything being perfect. It's not about perfecting, but it's about understanding the context of fitness that actually works for you and understanding why you've struggled up until this point and then making an action plan about what you can do about it and just why it's been so hard up until this point of your life. So again, the three questions to ask yourself are, if you were to imagine a medical or health professional talking to you about fitness, what have they told you is good and what have they told you is bad? The second is, if you imagine your family growing up or what fitness culture was like for you growing up, what did that look like? And the last one is, if you imagine social media you've seen related to fitness, what immediately comes to mind? What message are those images sending? And if you get through this and then you're like, okay, whoa, what do I do next? I also have an episode on how to make fitness actually fun. If you want to go back to that, I think it's episode 2 or 3, but there is an earlier episode on that if you want to take it a step further. So thank you all so, so much for listening to this episode today. I am so, again, grateful for each and every one of you for taking this time out of your day. And if you have any questions about conditioning related to fitness, or you want to do a mega deep dive, because this is just the surface level, this is just like layer 1 of 100, and you really want to deep dive into your conditioning, my next course, again, starts November 24th. It is an 8-week course on unpacking your conditioning and building out a personal plan for you to practice self-love when it comes to movement, learn why you think and feel and act the way you do when it comes to fitness, and what to do about it specific to your life. It is a live course. It is going to get very nitty-gritty with the things that you experience. So again, thank you all so much. You guys are amazing, and you are amazing just the way you are. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to this episode. I so appreciate it. And if you have more topics you would like to hear about or want to learn more, you can find us at abhmovement.com, abhmovement on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, or hit us up in our Empath Movement Facebook group. Have an amazing day today, and thank you so much again.